Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Anand Rathi Wealth Limited for Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anand Rathi, Chairman and Promoter. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rujita, and very good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our earnings conference call for the first time after our listing for the full year results and obviously the quarter four results. We welcome you all. I'm very happy to inform that I also am joined by our senior management team, Mr. Rakesh Rawal, who is the CEO, Mr. Feroze Azeez, who is the Deputy CEO, Mr. Jugal Mantri, who is Group Financial Officer, and Mr. Rajesh Bhutara, who is the CFO of the company. As you must have seen, our results have been very good. The way we'll proceed, Jugal Mantri will brief you about the results which have already been perhaps in your hands, and then it will be followed by question answer. All my senior colleagues would be very happy to Mr. Rakesh Rawal, Mr. Azeez, Mr. Mantri, Mr. Bhutara to take all the questions which you have in mind. Thanks once again for joining us. Over to you, Jugal.
Thank you very much, sir. Good afternoon to all. I am happy to share that the company and its subsidiaries all have posted robust performance for the financial year March 2022, backed by the accelerated growth across businesses. Our revenue for the year ended 31st March 2022 stood at 426 crore as against 279 crore in FY 2021, registering a growth of 52% compared to the same period last year. Our EBITDA for the year stood at rupees 177 crore, registering a growth of 155% as compared to rupees 70 crore during same period last year. Our EBITDA margin, that is very healthy, and it stood at 42.4% in FY 2022. Profit after tax for the year stood at 127 crore rupees, registering a growth of 184% as compared to rupees 45 crore during same period. Our quarterly revenue, EBITDA, and PAT stood at rupees 115 crore, rupees 46 crore, and rupees 35 crore respectively, registering a strong growth of 49%, 216%, and 239% over same period last year. The basic earnings per share for the company for financial year 2022 stood at rupees 30.49. The return on equity, which is one of the most important parameter, that stood at healthy 41.7% for financial year 2022. The company has declared a final dividend of rupees 6 per share, which is subject to approval of the shareholder. Earlier, the company has declared and paid interim dividend of rupees 5 per share. All put together, the dividend for the financial year FY 2022, if it gets approved, it will be 11 rupees. That will translate to 20% of the face value of shares. Going forward, with broad-based recovery throughout the economy, improved market condition, and growing awareness of a dedicated wealth management advisor, we expect an increased inflow of funds and consistent growth in our AUM in the coming quarters. With this, we will now open the floor for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Madhusudan Kela from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Anandji. Brilliant set of numbers to you and your team. I think you have lived beyond the promises which you made at the time of IPO. So congratulations on that. Anandji, I had one simple question.
Yeah.
We continue to generate substantial cash in the business. And of course, the business doesn't require money. And we have seen by international examples that buyback is a far more effective way than dividend in overall wealth creation for all stakeholders. So will you consider buyback as and when the company becomes eligible? And B, generally speaking, what kind of quantum of profit we can expect to be distributed by the company over the next 2-3 years? Let's say if you make 100 rupees profit, what kind of distribution can happen?
Thank you, Madhu, for the compliments. And I think in accordance with the policy to reward shareholders, obviously we will definitely consider the buyback option at the appropriate time, depending on, when we are eligible, how much funds are available. And looking at the requirement of funds of growth, obviously, we would like surplus funds to be used for the rewarding shareholders from time to time. And obviously, the timing and quantum will depend on the situation because we would like company to grow, and any investment in growth will be required, will be done. We'll also look for opportunities for acquisition of small, businesses, if possible. So our whole idea is obviously to grow the company as much as better as we can do, and also the reward the shareholders. And I hope our shareholders, with the decision which you've taken even to increase our dividend, last year we paid 5 rupees, this time we have made 11 rupees. I'm sure the shareholders would be happy with the decision of the board. And thank you for your suggestion.
Thank you, Anandji. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks and congratulations on good set of numbers. One question was, in terms of, as you commented right now, you will also look at some acquisition opportunities. So if you could highlight which lines of business would you be evaluating those incrementally?
It would be in the wealth management only. I think our idea is to be focused only on the wealth management business.
Sure, sir. Second was, sir, in terms of the AUM movement, like we had given in the presentation last quarter, if you could share how much of it was coming from new clients, existing clients, and MTM? Some color on that?
Yeah. Okay, sir, yeah.
New clients say kitna aaya. Rajeshji, do you have that number readily available, or we can then, if we don't, then we can separately give an answer for that.
See, we had an inflow of about 2700 crore rupees in new inflow in the last financial year. And out of that, 50% was from the existing client, and about the same has come from the new set of clients.
Okay, lovely.
Sure, sir. And sir, another question was, in terms of, in the marketing debentures product that we do, in case some client wants to exit prior to the maturity, are there any prepayment charges that are levied on that? Or how does that transaction work? If you can give us some clarity on that.
Feroz, you want to take that?
Sure. When there's a premature withdrawal, what happens is, since it's an ongoing business, we sell it to another buyer. So, and there's no redemption charge, if that's what you're alluding to, Rohan. That's your question, right?
Yes. So there's no redemption charge. Okay.
Correct. Yeah, but because we buy it and then we house it and sell it, we may have some margin in terms of when you're selling. So some degree of trading margin will be there, which generally is levied on the buyer rather than the seller.
Got it. And so in terms of the new client acquisition run rate, like last year was around 988 and this year net addition around 973. So like how should we build the run rate going ahead? What is the run rate currently and what is the expected run rate going into FY23 on new client acquisition?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, so we, of course, when you run a business like this, there's something called the critical mass. I think the run rate would increase. If you look at the number of RMs, we expect 0.7, 0.8 per month per RM new acquisition. That's our target. So are we heading there? The answer is yes. As you have larger number of satisfied clients who've spent reasonable amount of time, your references shoot up. Of course, after the pandemic, it has been close to 1,000 all 3 years, 800, 980, and again 1,000. But do we see this pace increasing? To my mind, yes. There could be a 50% growth in the pace in this year because there is a large visibility a business like ours gets after listing, and that creates some degree of momentum in terms of acquisition. And that's what we've seen in the second part of the last year after we've been listed.
Sure. And so the 0.7 per RM per month client acquisition would be for a certain vintage of clients that we are targeting, beyond a certain vintage or across RM pool?
No. See, if you have 271, so if I say 0.7, then I'm speaking of 200 clients gross. Okay. So 150 clients per month is our target. That's our target. Will we get there in a year, 2 years? The answer is yes.
And lastly, would it be possible to share, so you were saying something?
Yeah, I was saying there are two sets of RMs. One are the ones who have crossed the 40 crore mark. Those we call them as qualified RMs. So there we would look at least 0.7 in this year.
Got it. And so just lastly, would it be possible to share the quantum of MLD issuances during the year, fresh issuances?
Hello, Jugalji, quantum of MLDs issued?
See, the quantum was more or less same what it was in FY21. It was about 2,800 crore rupees. And largely, even these issuances were renovation sort of where the people have redeployed their money, which they have received out of redemption.
Got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Senthil Kumar from Joint Capital Services. Please go ahead. As there is no response, we'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Karthik Sani from Mitrade Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just have one question. So your share of mutual funds is now around 46%. Can you give a target of, say, down the line 3 years?
The target for the for the next 3 years is to try and get to 50% of income from mutual funds.
All right, thank you.
And with respect to the assets, that's the 46% number you're referring to. In terms of assets, it will be 55-60. In terms of revenue, like Rakesh sir mentioned, 50-50.
Okay, thank you. Got it. Thank you so much. all this?
So, Kartik, even the number of the amount which you are referring of the mutual fund, that is only the equity mutual fund amount. In fact, the total share of the mutual fund assets in our AUM is 58.3%. So, 46% is only equity mutual fund share.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Senthil Kumar from Roindy Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Hello. Yes, yes. Yes. You're audible. And no, you're not.
Mr. Senthil Kumar, please go ahead. Your line is unmuted.
Hello. Congratulations. Congratulations to the team for the good set of numbers, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. First one is, given the current uncertain market environment on account of various macro factors, do you foresee an increase in MLD business as it offers a downward protection to investors? Because I see a fall in other security contribution, which includes MLD AUM, from 35.28% in FY22 to 29.15% in FY21. Can you please throw some light on that, sir, on future outlook of MLD business?
Carol, will you take this? Hello?
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 Carol?
Sorry, there was some disturbance, so I couldn't hear the question correctly. If you can go again with the question, it will be very helpful for me to give you a pointed answer to it.
Yeah, I just want to know this future outlook of MLD business, sir, because now I can see that the other security contribution was declined from 35% in FY22 to 29% in FY21. Now, given this uncertain environment, market environment, how do you foresee some increase in MLD business going forward?
See, all our decision with respect to allocations of mutual funds, structure products, as we call them MLDs, is dependent on the macroeconomic variable and the client objective. Like previously we were discussing that our equity mutual fund moved from 39 to 46 and our MLD moved from 35 to 30. That's because beginning of the year we thought that the client objective can be better met with 5% moving from MLDs to equity mutual funds. And since we use a very standardized, very oriented, all of our RMs are aligned and oriented in one direction, all of it happens together. That's why you see 5% reduction in MLD and a 5-7% increase in the equity mutual fund. That's the top-down recommendation from our model portfolio. So that's the heartening thing, that whatever we decide on the model portfolio actually becomes a reality in the assets. Now coming to the question of what do we see as the future of the MLD business. MLD business of 30 to 35% helps us maintain the standard deviations of 8% 3-year standard deviation. So this one-third component is what I think will be a reasonably stable recommendation plus or minus 5%. So 30 is on the lower side. 35 is generally on the higher side, given our track record of 6-7 years. Now, a large portion of MLDs which have been sold 3 years back, 4 years back, come to maturity, and 78% to 80% of our gross mobilization comes from maturities and repeat buyers. And with that kind of marketing momentum which has developed over the last 10 years, will the business capitalize on it over the next 10 years? The answer is yes.
Understood, sir.
Good.
Thank you. And my second question has been already answered. That's it from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Senthil.
Thank you. Thank you, Senthil.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devesh Agarwal from IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, congratulations for a good set of numbers and beating
thank
your
you,
own guidance.
Thank you.
I think you already did mention about this number, but I missed that. The MLD contribution or the gross mobilization for the year is the number 2800 crore. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what Jugal informed us, yes.
And for the fourth quarter, how much would that be?
Jugalji?
For the fourth quarter, the gross mobilization was about 760 crore rupees.
Understood. And in terms of the tenure for this product, have we seen any change versus FY21? Are we selling more of 5 years? Is that what we can assume?
That's right. It's more 5 years than 3 years. Yes.
Right. And we had started selling even third-party MLDs. Is there any progress or any numbers that you can share on?
Yeah, yeah, definitely there is a progress. In fact, about 35% or you can say one-third of the new sales has happened of the third-party only. Two-third is of the Anand Rathi Global and one-third is about that is of other party.
And sir, the duration remains the same, 5 years, even for the third-party products?
No, the third party is 3 years and the other one is 5 years.
Understood. In terms of sir, your guidance that you have given for FY23, I think you are forecasting 22% growth for your AUM. So can you just give you a broad color, which are the segments, what kind of growth are you looking for in FY23?
Well, to my mind, it is, you know, it is going to be proportionate. Why? Because the strategy is proportionate. Huh? Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening, sir.
Yeah, so if I have new money coming in with an objective of earning 12 to 13% return, that has an allocation of a certain proportion to equity funds and certain proportion to MLDs and debt. So the new monies will get allocated in the same proportion. So the 22% is going to be, in a sense, the same 22% for all the categories.
Understood. Okay. And sir, any targets for the RM addition for this year?
RM addition for next year, again, which we are looking for about 40 to 50 people again.
40 to 50 people. Perfect, sir. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Franklin Burrice from Equitas Wealth Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So in your underlying assumption of, you know, your around 22% AUM growth, would you assume the industry also to grow at a similar level?
Well, I don't think we are looking at it from the perspective of the industry. We are saying that, hey, given the new money that we get when we acquire clients, as well as existing clients, you know, what kind of new money they can bring in, and therefore this whole thing is built bottom up, and our estimate on that is therefore 22-23%.
Okay. And if I look at, you know, the AUM in proportion to the clients, it appears to be that, you know, the average ticket size of the clients is, you know, reducing over the last maybe 3 years or so. So could you tell us, like, what was the average ticket size, you know, at origination 3 years back and what it is current?
Rajeshji, what is the number? Firoz, bolo.
So firstly, to the point, before the numbers, Rajesh, if you could pull out the numbers. Firstly, the average client size is not reducing. When you bring in a new client, your base of number of clients is increasing. When you get a new client, it takes 1, 2, 3 years of credibility building for you to penetrate into one's balance sheet to the extent of 50, 70, 80%. When a 10 crore balance sheet commences with you, with a crore, it doesn't imply that he's got just a crore to give you. So you're going to balance sheets upwards of 5, 10, 15, 20 crores, but the people commence with 1, 2 crores. So as you expand your new client base, if you look at averages without means, median, modes and stuff, it might be a little, arithmetic mean might be a little deceptive number. Right? So that's why you see as the client base increases, the average ticket size is coming down, but if you bifurcate 3 year plus clients and then see average ticket sizes, it will be reasonably good to see a growth in the average ticket size.
So, Manoj, you have rightly said, Mr. Franklin, in fact, if you will look at the AUM, what we had in FY18, our AUM was about 15,000 and we had total number of clients, those were about 3,300. In fact, the average at that time was also 4.5 crore rupees. So it is in fact commendable that in spite of doubling the number of registered client, number of active client families, we have been able to maintain the average AUM per client family at almost the same level. So that is really commendable, and it goes very well what Firoz bhai has said.
So I was the AUM also would have a certain portion of the profits also which would have got built into over the last 3 years. So I was just trying to adjust it for the profits or the increase in AUM that would have happened. That number would have look at inflows, probably that number would have come a little bit lower. But as you rightly said, probably as the new clients get added, incrementally the average ticket size for the new clients is a bit lower compared to the ones for the existing clients, which is probably why on an aggregate basis, if you look at it, the average ticket size would appear to be a bit lower. But so my follow-up question on this is, how long does it take, for the client to reach that maturity level in terms of, providing large part of his, shifting a large part of his, portfolio?
Okay. If I told you the average time taken, I think credibility gets built is in 3 years. So if a person has spent 3 years and seen one cycle of 3 year investing, the credibility goes up and then penetration becomes relatively easy. That's why we see below 3 years and above 3 years more clearly in terms of our client bifurcation. So, but the most of them start with 10, 15, 20%. Of their balance sheet. Don't start with 60, 70, 80%. And over a period of 10 years, you become a sole advisor. So 3 years, 7, 8, 9 years to become a sole advisor, and 3 years to penetrate upwards of 50, 70% of one's balance sheet. Because as long as you have created clear expectations, and then you meet those expectations, clients are very, very happy to give you larger chunks of their balance sheet because it gets them to be more relieved. So that's 3 year and 7 year, 8 year. Does that answer?
Yeah, that's really very helpful in terms of understanding that movement. Next question is in terms of largely we are oriented towards mutual funds, both debt and equity. If you see clients are more preferring, or rather they want to diversify into the non-mutual fund oriented kind of businesses at an industry level. So are we making any steps towards diversifying our revenue sources as well?
Firstly, we are not oriented to mutual funds or MLD for any product. Our orientation is to the client objective. There's a little difference. There's a subtle difference. So our client objective is what we are oriented towards. And what is the simplest way to achieve that objective? If that happens through equity mutual funds 45%, MLD 30%, then that be it. So that's point one. Point two, of course, clients have this inner desire, especially looking at several products being offered, from a crypto to private equity to a REIT to NCDs of real estate developers. So there's a lot of digression which is there in the marketplace in the form of product offering. When you're meeting 7,000 clients one-on-one as a private banker or a private wealth manager, you influence their thought process over 10, 12, 15 meetings. So once the client is designed to think in a certain way, he filters out most of the products himself or herself. For example, if you pitched our client somebody who has gone through a lot of learning curve, a specific product, he'd ask you the question, what is the return, what is the standard deviation, what's the cost as an expected return ratio. So all those 5-6 filters throw out several product distractions helps a client overcome the FOMO sentiment, fear of missing out sentiment, which he feels when he sees a new, attractively entertaining product. So that's how we try and handle that distraction.
Okay. Last question is on the trail revenues. So we've seen the trail revenues, you know, as a percentage of total revenues increasing for this current year. But going forward, how should we, you know, look at this trail revenue? Or if you could just give some understanding in terms of, you know, how to build and understand this.
Yeah. Heroes again.
Okay, sir. So like Rakesh sir already mentioned, that our target in the short term itself is to have 50% trail revenue from mutual funds and 50% all others put together, largely MLD. So that's our target. That's one way of looking at it. Second, we always have this aspiration to cover our HR cost and certain degree of fixed cost using trail revenues. So to answer your pointed question, 50-50 as a proportion of other revenues and mutual fund trail revenue. Is that target? We must be there in the next year, 2 years latest.
Okay. But as a percentage of total revenues, will this share increase or will it be the same now?
Total, I 50-50 was the percentage. Sorry.
Of the total revenue.
Of
the total revenue,
no? Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot.
And that's why you see last year, when we were very determined to increase our trails, you've seen a 70% growth in the revenues from trail. The overall revenue growth has been 56%, but the trail revenue growth has been 71%, which implies that we are heading towards our target of 50-50.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Gala from iWealth Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Sir, so just wanted a certain understanding on our MLD business, sir. How does that business...
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Pranav Gala, but
yeah.
Your voice is not clear, sir.
Okay, one second.
Is it audible now?
Yes, now it is. Please go ahead.
Right. Good afternoon, sir. I just wanted a certain understanding on our market-linked debenture business, sir. How does that basically work when it comes to our system? I mean, we have an RM and a client. The client gives us money, and how does the process flow, sir?
I think Rose has explained that the client, firstly, you know, we look at his balance sheet. We tell, you know, he fixes an objective of 12 to 13% return. After which we tell him that how he can get that 12, 13% return by putting monies in a certain proportion in equity funds, some in debt and MLDs. He finds that particular mechanism attractive. And then depending on what his balance sheet is, he keeps filling in the gap of putting money in equity funds and MLDs.
Right. So when say the client agrees say a 50% in equity and a 50% in MLD, so he will be opening his own account and putting his money as whatever you have, whatever the RM has suggested. Is that understanding correct?
Okay, so therefore for the MLDs, he opens a DMAT account and, sends a check to the company, to ARWL, and then the MLD is credited to his DMAT account. Is that what you want to ask?
Yeah, so once the check, so once the MLD is credited to his account, So then there are, what is the risk associated with MLD towards
next?
The client?
Rutuja?
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Huh.
Hello, am I audible, sir?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So, sir, I was just asking that based on the MLD side, once the MLD is credited to the client's account, what is the risk associated to the client as well as to us?
So what is the risk? It's lying in a DMAT account. I don't understand the question. Any security lying in a DMAT account is lying in a DMAT account. What is the risk? What specifically do you have in mind?
So there are certain loans taken and loans given on our balance sheet last year. Is that related to MLD?
No. That's decided. Jugalji, would you like to answer that? I don't know.
No, there is no loan which is attributable towards the MLD business. As Rakeshji has clearly outlined, that in case if the client agrees to the strategy of investing into MLD, okay, based on that, the book is being created, and the Anand Rathi Wealth Limited purchase the MLD from the issuer and resell it to the client. So there is no risk associated with this MLD business in the books of Anand Rathi Wealth Limited. Reason being, we have simply sold the securities, and ultimately the ownership, beneficial ownership, as well as any risk which is associated with the instrument, that will be in the books of the MLD holder. So there is no risk associated with it, will be there in the balance sheet of Anand Rathi Wealth Limited. Did that make it clear to you?
Yeah. This is what I was asking, sir. Thank you so much. So this is basically saying that once the buying of MLD is done from our end for the client, it's being credited to their account. Once that has happened, the risk entirely goes to the client. There's nothing on books of Anand Rathi.
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Agam Shah from Praj Trading. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Can you just briefly talk about your digital initiatives? The two things which you have been doing, like the OFA and the Omni Financial Advisor and Digital Wealth. Can you just briefly talk about the two initiatives?
Can I answer that, Rakesh?
Please, sir.
So I think, you know, the two initiatives are obviously long-termish initiative to cover the different segment of clients which are not covered under wealth. So digital wealth management primarily is meant for, mass affluent category, where people obviously want to invest, and based on the online, our entire proposition is online. The investments can be done online. The rebalancing can be done online. So it's basically a digital wealth management plan where people can do themselves without any assistance from the RM. And that's why, you know, because for mass affluent, it is a, you know, cost ineffective to have senior RMs which are doing wealth management. And that's why this has been created. And right now it is being sold through the, various independent financial advisors to their clients. But independent financial advisors understand our platform and try and distribute to them. But obviously the entire investment, the OEM is of the company. The other product which we have, OFA, which is a technology platform for the small independent financial advisors who don't have their own technology-based support. So it's a subscription-based product which we give, and we have more than 5,300 independent financial advisors who have bought this product from us. We service this product. It helps them to, it's a white label for them. And in their own name, they send the reports to their clients. There's a client app which they can do. And therefore, the idea is to help IFAs to acquire more clients, providing the technology platform which they themselves are not able to do. And primarily, obviously, it is intended for the retail investors. And there is a increasing traction on the both the products. And hopefully, in the long term, these will also grow and become big businesses.
So the OFA fund?
Yeah.
So, is there a, the financial advisor would be selling only Anand Rathi product or?
No. Actually, we are only giving a technology platform. It's a subscription based. We are not selling any product through our eyes.
To the financial advisor,
so it is like, you know, by you buy Tele, for example, you know, so it's like a technology platform and product which is designed to be used by any financial advisor, so that their entire transactions of mutual funds are fully recorded in this system, and then whatever report they want to send it to their client, they can send it. The client can use the app, which is again part of our services. So he can open the app and see any data which is related to the investor.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Rakesh would like to make any comment.
Thank you very much for coming in and joining. And we tried to answer all your questions to the best of our ability. And, you know, I want to say that, hey, we will continue to endeavor to do our best for our very, very esteemed shareholders. Thank you very much once again. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, all the participants. In case if you have any further query or if you need any clarification, please either you can reach investor relationship head Mr. Vishal Sanghvi or CFO Mr. Rajesh Putra or strategic growth advisor who is helping us on IR front. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. On behalf of Anand Rathi Wealth Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.